Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is.
Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, coming to you live Sunday, November 26th, 11 a.m. Pacific time here on the West Coast. I hope you're joining us from wherever you are in the entire world. Of course, we are one day removed from the David Benavidez fight. Last night, of course, Benavidez putting on his A game, no doubt about that, against Demetrius Andrade. Andrade came in undefeated in over 30 fights, but bottom line is he was a smaller guy, a shorter guy, and stature, I mean body-wise, across the shoulders, he couldn't match David Gonzalez in his physical stature. But Benavidez came out, employed his, he got down to business right away. I mean, there was just no doubt about it. And you're never going to look good against Demetrius Andrade. He's one of those fighters it's impossible to look good against, so for the most part, I guess getting a win is all that counts. Now, of course, we want to talk about Canelo Alvarez. Of course, that is the big fight everybody wants to talk about. I mean, you'll hear David wants Canelo. The whole entire boxing world wants Canelo. Last night, this entire arena lit up on flames after the fight was over. They were screaming, "We want Canelo, we want Canelo," and this was a Mexican crowd. So I don't know if Canelo's losing his juice with his people, but the bottom line is it's time for Canelo to put up or shut up. Straight up, we do have open phone lines around the planet. You can join me if you like. 1-800-878-7255. That's 1-800-878-TALK. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. A little remote broadcast coming to you from the Las Vegas Westgate Hotels. And if I tell you this, take it as a recommendation. The Westgate has crummy room service, crummy parking, and crummy internet. All that combined, I didn't know, but I'm here. Straight up, stay tuned for Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com, and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everyone says, I wish I was in your shoe, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe, don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
He was in the house last night. Iron Mike Tyson supporting David Benavidez. Of course, Benavidez the winner last night in 6 rounds over Demetrius Andrade. Andrade came in with a style that was, you know, difficult to beat. Nobody really wanted to fight him. I mean, Canelo talked about who have you fought before, and he really hasn't fought anybody, but he's waited around, and he waited around, and he got vacant titles at 154 and 160 before moving up to 168 pounds, which I thought was a bad move. I mean, if you're making money at 154 and 160 and you're doing okay, stay there, because 168 is perilous. There's no doubt about that. And now David Benavidez is the gatekeeper at 168 pounds. Of course, he was the champion a couple of years ago. He lost the title on the scale during the pandemic. He also had some cocaine issues, so he had some Colombian dust problems. He straightened them out. He got his life together. He and his wife are on the same page, and he's clicking. There's no doubt about it. I mean, friends of mine saw him a couple of months ago here in Las Vegas, and he was training for this fight. He was ready then. I mean, they said he was ready then. His weight has been pretty good as far as gaining weight. So he's not one of those guys like, you know, Roberto Duran goes up to 250 pounds between fights. He's disciplined. There's no doubt about it. Of course, as I said, 3 years ago, he was the WBC super middleweight champion, and then he got stripped because he didn't make the weight. But then again, Canelo took the title, and then Canelo just sort of forgot about him. I mean, he was just like, huh? Who is that guy? A couple times, Canelo's used the F word when describing David Benavidez. F him, I'll fight him, I'll fight him. And then he said one time he doesn't fight other Mexicans. So I don't know what the story is with Canelo, but the bottom line is, the heat is on Canelo Alvarez right now without a doubt. Now, we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in my man. I'm talking about Sunday shot caller, Mr. Tommy D. Tommy, how are you, sir?
Hey, Pedro, what's going on? Happy birthday, Pedro. I heard you had a nice birthday last night in Vegas.
Yeah, we had a good time here in Las Vegas. Although, I am bummed out. I found out this week that Scott Cuddy had died. He was my producer for 16 years, and to show you how nice his family was there in Colorado, they didn't bother to tell any of us in California, where he lived with us for 16 years. He left a year and a half ago, got sick 2 years ago, and the family never called us and told us he died. That's pretty chicken spit.
Wow, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so we were outside. So that's why I found out on my birthday. I went to his Facebook page, and there it was, you know, rest in peace, Scott Cuddy. Say, what? Yeah, so that's how I found out. So the family, and the Cuddy family, I'm not big fans of them too. But I am big fans of David Benavidez, and to an extent, Demetrius Andrade, because Andrade was, he was sort of like a, he was in a gunfight last night, but he only brought knives. Is that a good way to describe it?
I think that's a very good way to describe it. He was definitely gamed. He didn't pull a Charlo versus Canelo. He came in there. He tried to win the first couple rounds. He looked decent. I thought the first round kind of made him even. He might have won the second round, and then from there, David kind of had his way with him and just imposed his will on him. So
that's exactly what it was. It was a classic example of imposing one's will on another guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he beat him. You know, he landed a lot more. You know, he landed 34.8% of his punches, and his power punches, he landed 102 of 264 to Andrade's only 49 of 146. So, I mean,
Time out. Can you compare those numbers with Shakur Stevenson's power shots of a couple weeks ago for me?
I could probably count them on my fingers, because the most punches I think Shakur had in any round was like 12. So, I mean,
when you were watching that, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, what is this? I mean, here you are. It's a Thursday night. You have the NFL on. I think the F1 is in Vegas. And you have a chance to, you know, draw, bring in this huge audience and show that you're the guy at 135. And you put up a stinker. And you pretty much fought scared the entire fight.
That's probably the kindest way you can put it. He fought scared. I mean,
it was a stinker. I mean, and then that ring was twice the size of the ring that they used last night. I mean,
so here's what's up. So Shakur, who promotes Shakur Stevenson? Bob Arum, right?
Bob Arum, top rank, yes.
Okay. Now, Bob Arum is usually not known for pulling a lot of crap. I mean, the guy's pretty straight up as far as business is concerned. Of course, he was a guy that at one point said, I was lying yesterday, but today I'm telling the truth. So... I was there. I couldn't believe it. I can't remember. It was like some big fight in the 80s. And that's what he said. He goes, you know, yesterday I was lying to you. Today I'm telling the truth. Say, what? Anyway, he's got the ESPN contract. And speaking of ESPN now, that Showtime has bowed out. That was Showtime's last event, correct?
Yeah, that was Showtime's last pay-per-view, last event. And that's it for Showtime. You know, who knows now what is PBC going to do? Who are they going to, what network they're going to get signed to now or try to get signed to now?
Okay, so how many buys do you think last night's fight did?
I mean, I'm hoping it did well, but, you know, if I was a gambling man, I'd say maybe, you know, I'll throw out 150. 150, hey. 150K pay-per-view buys.
Well, I guess that's a little bit better than Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou.
It's three times better than Tyson Fury said they got it. They only did about, I think, 60, right?
Tommy, you know, that fight did such poor numbers, but yet everybody I walked into has seen that fight.
Yeah, I guess they didn't pay to see the fight. I guess they were watching it in binoculars, you know, in somebody's window or something like that. That's
I'm serious. I mean, people I don't know. Listen, I used to get the vibes in grocery stores on boxing. Not anymore. Yeah. All the old groceries and guys. I used to go in the grocery store, talk to the guy. He'd say blah, blah, blah. He'd scope out the fight from his perspective. The Tyson Fury Francis Ngannou fight, the WBC has come out and, of course, ranked Ngannou number 10. I don't know how you drop the heavyweight champion of the world, put him on his ass, and then get on the short side of a bad decision. I don't say a robbery, but a bad decision, and they only rank you number 10. But I guess if they put them number one, the other guys would revolt, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, boxing didn't want to get too embarrassed. They were already embarrassed because Tyson Fury embarrassed, you know, boxing with that performance. But, you know, a double whammy would have been if they would have gave him the loss, which I think he deserved the loss for that fight.
Yeah.
So, that you know, that was, you know, them kind of cover their ass a little bit and you know, making it look better than what it was.
Okay, let's talk about the Benavidez fight last night, the Jose Benavidez fight. Did he win a round on your card?
I think he won maybe two rounds on my card. The fifth round was probably his best round. But no, he didn't win. He was missing a lot of punches, and the punches he did land had no effect. You know, he had no... You know, I think Jose has to just give it up. He had no skill. He had no game plan. I mean, he was getting hit in the face a lot. I mean, Charlo was very slow, and he was still connecting and landing big power shots. I mean, I thought Charlo won easy. Made Charlo look better than what he was, but Charlo didn't look any better. He fought a guy just there that had no plan.
Well, a guy that got knocked out by Terrence Crawford at 147.
Yeah, got beat by Terrence Crawford. He got beat up by Danny Garcia, and Danny Garcia is not a guy that's gonna outbox you. He's just gonna come straight at you, and he got beat up by Garcia like 8 rounds out of 10 in Brooklyn last year. So I mean, Jose, I think it's time Jose has to give it up. And he got one nice little payday yesterday. He fought a guy that hadn't fought in almost 3 years, and a guy that didn't take the camp seriously came in pretty much about 6 pounds over the weight that he's the champion at, and he couldn't do anything with him.
I know Benavidez was in the loser's position, the not being the house guy, not being the chosen one, this and that. But I think I might have held out for a lot more money than I got. In other words, if they were giving me $200,000 for last night, I would have told them, listen, the guy may have missed the weight, give me $1 million, I'm not fighting. I mean, yeah, that's just the way it was.
I think he got $250,000 extra for the weight. So he didn't get $1 million, but he got like a quarter. I think it was something like $75,000 per pound or something like that, from what I read. And then there was a hydration clause that he couldn't come in 10 pounds over what he weighed in at. So he weighed in at 166. So he couldn't come in at 176 at the fight last night. But still, it's a big advantage. Jose was once a 140-pounder. He went up and fought Danny Garcia last year at 154, and now you're asking him to fight a 176-pound guy. Even though he's off a 2.5-year layoff, it's still a big disadvantage. And the guy's not knocking anybody out. When's the last time you've seen Jose hurt anybody? So,
what was up with those arm punches of his? Those little, what was that? And what was he doing?
Yeah. I have no idea. He looked like he wasn't there. He came to try to win. But, he had no skill. He was just throwing little punches that were, fairly connecting and nothing on those shots. And then he was getting beat up. I mean, Charlo landed 243 of 613. That's 40%. Benavidez only landed 86 punches the entire fight of 446. That's 19%. So, I mean, it's time for him maybe to just give it up or, maybe go back down and wait. But.
If he's been beat up at 147, 154, and 160, I think maybe it's time to call it a day. Let's take a break here. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we're coming to you live today from the Westgate Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, where they have no internet. The room service, they sent me my eggs this morning at $41 breakfast, folks, right? $41 as far as room service went, right? There was no salt and pepper for the eggs. So I didn't want to call them back for the salt and pepper because how long that would have took. The eggs would have been cold by the time they got back here. So the bottom line is, I'm moaning and screaming at the Westgate Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. More Ring Talk after the break.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands, guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
Two of my favorite people there, the Harlem Heckler, Hector Camacho, and Paul Scott Cuddy. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Last night, there were other fights besides the Benavidez fight, of course, come to us from Las Vegas. But let's go through the numbers just for a second. Of course, Benavidez now 28-0, 24 KOs. Andrade loses for the very first time. Game effort, no doubt about that. But when you're in a gunfight and you only got a knife, things are going to happen. Not good things either. And that's what happened to Demetrius Andrade last night. Was he came to a gunfight, but he only brought a knife. And when you do that, things happen. Of course, on the undercard, David Benavidez's younger brother, I believe, Jose Benavidez or Jose Benavidez Jr., lost a 10-round nod to the current WBC. He hasn't fought in like a couple and a half years. Talk about, of course, Jamal Charlo, now 33-0 with a 10-round decision. Some people thought the scores were a little wide. I mean, when they scored a 10-zip, I said to myself, whoa, that wasn't a 10-zip fight. But there's no doubt about it. Charlo landed the greater number of punches in that fight without a doubt. Of course, some other fights this weekend. Let's talk about the Junior Welterweight Championship as far as the IBF is concerned. Young man is named Sabriel Matias. He's 20-1 now with 20 KOs, all knockouts. He stopped previously unbeaten mandatory challenger Shoaifin Ezekoff, who was 23-1 with 20 KOs. They both came in undefeated with 20 KOs each. And obviously, one came out not getting stuck, not with that KO. But the bottom line is, Matias looks pretty good. Is Matias the real deal, Tommy D?
I think Matias is a real deal. I mean, I would wish he would show a little bit more defense, but I guess that's he likes to trade, and he likes to feel your punches, because the first couple rounds he was getting hit with some big shots. I mean, he blocked you know a bunch of them, you know, partially and stuff, but you know, the other guy came in swinging and trying to take him out of there, and he just took it. And eventually, you talking about, you know, imposing someone's will, he eventually did the same thing, and he made that other guy quit. Matias, he's got power. I mean, every fight he's won, I believe that he's got 100% knockout percentage and wins. I mean, he comes to hit. I mean, my only problem with Matias is defense. But I guess his offense is his defense, and his face, I guess he likes to get hit from what I hear. So, but I mean, there's some big fights that could be made at 140 with him. He called out all the big names. I would love to see it. I mean, him and Steele would be a fantastic fight. You know, so, I mean, I think he's the real deal. I think he's a legit champion. He's the IBF champion at 140. And, you know, and he wants to fight the top guys. He wants to unify the belts. So,
okay. You know, it looks like Saudi Arabia is getting into the boxing picture big time. Of course, they've got a card December the 23rd over there on pay-per-view. Anthony Joshua and Otto Wallen I'm not knocking out a Wallen, but you know what? I think I could beat him. And why is Anthony Joshua going through with pedestrian fights? And is he, how do I put this? Does he have boxing fans? Really, does he have real boxing fans, or are they a bunch of girls? What's the story on him?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, he's already fought Wallen twice, I think, in amateurs. Yeah. I think he fought him in the Olympics and sometime in the amateurs, and I think they sparred before. You know, Wallen's a solid guy. I mean, Wallen, you know, was a referee stoppage away from beating Tyson Fury. You know, I was surprised in that fight that they didn't fight stop the fight, but obviously they didn't want Fury to lose because he was going to end up fighting Deontay Wilder. But, you know, he fought Fury in a tough fight. He opened up a cut, and that was a closer fight than what the scores were, I believe. And, you know, I think he's going to be a solid foe. You know, Anthony Joshua, he's gun-shy at times. You know, I think this is a dangerous fight for Joshua.
Gun-shy is Tyson Fury. Doesn't look like he likes getting hit anymore at all.
Well, I mean, I say gun-shy because his last performance against Hellenius, he was scared to throw, you know, those early rounds, you know, and Hellenius was just fought like a couple weeks before. You know, he should have gotten out of there earlier. So that's kind of why I say Joshua's a little gun-shy based on his last performance.
So now the kid from the American that just got arrested a couple of weeks ago, of course, drunk driving, he had a gun in the car and this and that.
Oh, Anderson, big baby, Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think is going to go on there? I mean, is when I see things like that early on, I say to myself, either this is a car wreck or somebody's going to save him. What's going to be? Is he going to get saved or is he going to be a car wreck?
I mean, he moved out of Ohio, out of the, you know, the quote unquote the hood, and he's now in Florida. He's with Roy Jones, and he's supposed to be in a better situation. And it doesn't seem to work. You know, his brother's doing life in jail, I believe, or something like that. He comes from a bad, you know, area. His mentals is not, in my opinion, not all there. He said he wanted to retire in like 2-3 years, you know, and now he gets the gun charge. And lately he's been, you know, he's been talking and picking on 135, 140 pounders. He's been talking bad about Haney in defense of Shakur. So I really don't know what's on Big Baby's mind, and I really don't know what Top Rank's going to do with him, you know. As far as the heavyweight division.
So who else, if not Mr. Anderson, who else stands out in the Americas as far as the heavyweight's concerned? Anybody?
I mean, Big Baby and you know, Wilder still has a shot. Wilder has a fight with Parker, and supposedly if he wins this fight and Joshua takes care of business, we may see finally Joshua versus Wilder. And then maybe down the road, we might see the winner of Usyk and Fury maybe take on the winner. I mean, there's still big fights to be made in the heavyweight division. But as far as American fighters, we really don't, you know, we only have maybe a handful. You know, I like to see the Chinese guy who's now living in the States. He's living in Jersey now, Zhang, get a shot at the title as well, you know. But
nobody,
you
know what? They're going to wait for him to get a couple years older.
Yeah, he's already 40 years old.
No, that's what I said. They're going to wait for him to get a couple years older because – I think he's formidable enough to threaten anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? Absolutely. He's formidable. He could step in the ring with, he would step in the ring and be a live dog with anybody in the world. Okay? Merely because of his size, his tenacity. And he isn't the hardest puncher in the world, man, but the guy's resilient. He's like a little ever-ready battery. He just keeps the bunny, keeps going.
Yeah. And he has a decent trainer behind him. And he has a country behind him too. I mean, and there's money that could be made. Maybe they could get him in a big fight in China. Why not?
Well, let me tell you a little Chinese story. One time, I was negotiating a paper. Harold Smith brought me to China to negotiate a pay-per-view deal with the Chinese government, and we wanted a certain amount of money. I think we wanted 5 cents a TV, 5 cents a house, or something like that. In this one, they were doing this pay-per-view in this one province around Beijing. And it was an experimental thing, so we wanted 5 cents. So anyway, Harold says to me, I can't use his language, but you better not come out of that room with less than 4 cents. Okay? That's what he told me. You know how much I came out with?
How much?
2.5 cents. You know what the Chinese dude told me? Mr. Fernandez, you look like a smart man. I said, oh, here we go. don't let a little money stand in the way of big money. He goes, this is the way it is. He goes, it's 2.5 cents. and that's we're not going to go any higher, period. And I said, then we have a deal. then we have a deal. So I went outside. I told Harold, I said, yeah, I did two and a half. He goes, I knew it. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, I was gunning for two and a half. I said, so you sent me in there screaming and jumping up and down? And made, he goes, well, that's what you get paid for.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. So that was my little negotiation with the Chinese government in Beijing. That was a bit of a blast.
Nice.
That was a bit of a blast. You come out of there with less than 4 cents, I'm going to kill you. Come on, man. You know, and the guy goes, 2.5 cents, Pedro, it's nothing. 2.5, there's no negotiating here. You either take the 2.5 cents or we're done. I said, okay, give me my 2.5 cents. I went out there, and as it turned out, all they wanted was 2.5 cents, and, you know, that was all stressed out. It was crazy. But it was a life experience that I'll never forget. And of course, we met the, was it that trip or the next trip? We met the president of China. He had a little private audience with myself, Muhammad Ali, and about 10 or 12 other people. So we got to meet some of the Chinese hierarchy over there. And, you know, I'm going to say, we had a good time in China, but I'm not looking to go back anytime soon. It's a long-ass flight. That's 19 hours in the plane.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, so. You know, there were beautiful, I'm changing the subject. On the way over the first time, I met this United Airlines stewardess, okay? So she made the flight real easy. And then, so I'm kicking back in coach, and we're talking, and Muhammad Ali comes up and says, come here, come on, let's go, grab your stuff. So he brought me up to executive class where he gave me a bed. And I laid down on it was like 8 beds in this room in front of the cockpit of the plane. So this is your bed, boss, okay. So I couldn't go to sleep. Muhammad Ali was like two beds away. I could hear him snoring. Okay, you know what I'm saying? This is like heavy. So I said, man, people would cut off their, you know, what to sit here and have something like this go down. So anyway, Ali's sitting. He's sleeping. His wife's asleep, and there's Howard Bingham, the photographer. I can't remember who else was there. So anyway, I got a little antsy, and I opened up the door to the cockpit of the plane, and I looked in the plane, and all three guys were asleep.
Wow.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. That's 800-433-0539. Paid for by Fix My Student Loans.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. The prices on all these highly rated tequilas are amazing. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the best deals in town. Remember that amazing Reposado your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa. That's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
So I'm sitting ringside last night, courtesy of my attorney, Mr. Mark Risman. I want to thank him for that fantastic ticket. Great experience, no doubt about that. And the food afterwards. Tommy D, I went into a restaurant last night, the Mandalay Bay Hotel. I used to have this Chinese restaurant. I used to go in there. They closed it a few years ago. But the bottom line is we went to this Mexican restaurant last night, and they have these tamales, these turkey tamales or something like that, and they want like $60 for the turkey tamales. I'm looking at this. I said, what kind of Mexican food is this? It's like upscale Mexican food. So I ended up having a steak, and it was okay. But the bottom line is there's no such thing as upscale Mexican food. It's Mexican food.
$60. Yes, that is true. I don't know. What kind of meat? What kind of meat is that, though?
Like, I don't know. But it's like beans. It's like Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, beans and rice. It's our universal language. You know what I mean?
Hey, they do that out here, too. Like, there's a couple restaurants out here I like to go to. I like eating mofongo, right? It's a classic Puerto Rican dish, and it's a bit pricey for some mashed up, you know, platanos and stuff. So, I don't know.
Anyway, Las Vegas is, let me tell you this, and not only that, this was up. So, you know, I'm a crabby old cranky guy, and I pulled up last night to the valet parking, like at, you know, about 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that, and it was full. And that meant that I had to go find self-parking. So I had to go park the car like a mile, almost a mile from the hotel and up in one of these separate self-parking garages, the whole nine yards. So I had to walk back. And I'm saying to myself, well, the walk isn't that bad. It is at 38 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, it was freezing last night, man. So when I saw this, and the reason why I'm bringing up the cold is that, you know, I like to help the homeless out. And I sort of dogged this homeless dude last night coming out of Walgreens. I should have probably gave him something and I didn't, man. And I drove away and I thought about it and I went back around the block and he wasn't there. But the bottom line is my conscience kicked in big time. It was 38 degrees and this guy's out there with a hoodie begging for food.
Wow.
You know, so it just shows you how, listen, everybody listen to this show, you know how fortunate you are. If you can yeah. put food on the table, you're doing all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's change gears. Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor talking smack because she beat Chamaron for the 140-pound title. What about Amanda Serrano? How come she doesn't talk about Amanda Serrano? Little tiny Amanda Serrano beat that, you know what? I mean, she beat her so clearly. It was like, man, Jose Feliciano would have saw that as a win for Amanda Serrano. But yet they gave, I think they called it a draw. Lori Taylor got a majority decision. You know, Lori Taylor got a decision on that one. And I wasn't too happy with that, but I mean, she's doing everything, but she's never mentioned Amanda. Now she's going to fight Amanda and have like a 15-pound weight advantage over her.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to fight Amanda. I think she's going to get a third fight. All Katie Taylor does is get gifts, and it's not even Christmas yet.
Was that a gift last night?
I thought at least it was a draw, and she got lucky because in the first round she got knocked down, and they ruled it a slip. And it looked like their feet collided. But it didn't. She clearly got knocked down. And, I thought it was a draw. I thought it was a good fight. Mm-hmm. But Katie Taylor, all she did was hold and hit the entire fight. And she was fighting dirty. She was pulling on her arm. You know, there was a bad headbutt that was, getting nasty cut on Chantel Cameron's left side of her forehead. And, I thought at best that Cameron won. And then, you know, the worst, they could have gave it a draw, but they gave – one judge gave it 98-92 for Katie Taylor. I was like, there's no way.
I saw that.
I mean, Cameron landed more. You know, she threw more and she landed.
Well, at the end of the day, Katie Taylor, let's be honest, Katie Taylor's gotten the benefit of the doubt more than once now, more than twice, like three or four times. And Eddie Hearn evidently is her promoter, and they think that, you know, Eddie's, how do I put this, judges know a real good judge knows how to judge a fight. A real judge that's worried about political things and has aspirations to maybe judge fights down the road and this and that, he's thinking about his future, when a real judge should only be thinking about the fight he's working right then and there, okay? And when guys come up with these scores that are like the two guys that voted for Tyson Fury over Francis Ngannou, that one guy, 96-93, I mean, what world was he living in?
I have no idea. that was way off. And some of these judges, they shouldn't be allowed to judge or be suspended or something with the scores they put up. I don't know how you fix this. I really don't.
I mean,
but last night,
yeah,
last night was, there's no way you saw that 98-92. You know, I thought, like I said, I thought Cameron won the fight. If not, worst case scenario could have been a draw. And the referee messed up. The referee is more of a spectator than anything. And he missed a knockdown in the first round. So.
See, and here's what's up. At least when guys commit really stupid things on the football field, you don't see them the next week. You understand? You don't. I mean, if a guy commits a total gaffe and misses a touchdown or something like that, or you don't see him the next week. They put him aside for a while. It doesn't go that way in boxing. A lot of times, the guys that screw up the worst get the most assignments.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yesterday we saw, I think Weeks was there again, you know.
Dave Moretti was there. Hey,
he's always there, yeah.
Somebody asked me what Dave Moretti's worst score was. I thought it was the 116-112 score he gave for Oscar De La Hoya over that French guy. The French guy beat his, you know what, I can't remember his name right now, but the French guy just beat his, you know what, and he scored an 8-4 for... Huh?
Was that the Felix Stern fight? Not the Felix
Stern
fight,
exactly.
Was it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that Stern was German. Yeah. The German guy, Felix Stern.
German guy, I'm sorry.
Felix Stern definitely won that fight. That was crazy.
They wanted him to fight
Hopkins.
But yeah, I know, and I was with Hopkins when that night, and of course we watched that fight together, and I watched Hopkins take apart Trinidad. Of course, the Trinidad fight, you know, Trinidad only lost when he fought bigger guys. I mean, that's it. He never lost a welterweight, did he?
No, he never lost a welterweight. He lost bigger guys. He lost to Hopkins and then Winky Wright, who was a bigger guy. And then and then later on, he fought a money fight with Roy Jones. So,
So anyway, but how come you never hear him mention amongst the great welterweights? Why is it that Trinidad doesn't get the accolades?
I don't know, because he was a big draw, especially here in New York, you know, especially, and he was loved by the Puerto Ricans. He was probably the most charismatic Puerto Rican fighter there was, more than Camacho, you know. So I really don't know. He fought at 147. He fought at 154, which was a really good weight for him.
That was the best,
you know. And he was a fighter's fighter. You know, he went out there and he tried to get you out of there, you know. So. And it's funny, every time you saw Trinidad get knocked down, that's when you knew you was in trouble, because he got back up and he tore you apart.
So before the Hopkins fight, Trinidad fought some guy from Africa. I can't remember what the guy's name or something like this. We're down in Florida, and we have a post-fight dinner. Don King, I'm sitting at the table. There's like 8 or 10 of us at the table. Me, the Trinidad, the father, the son, and O.J. Simpson. Okay.
Wow.
That was one hell. And Don King. I mean, we had, that was one hell of a round table.
Wow.
That
was a William. I think it was William Droppy he fought.
No, not that night. He fought a guy in Florida. I think I think it was 154. I can't remember what the guy's name was, but anyway, he fought this guy in Florida, and Don King promoted him, and we had this big party afterwards, and O.J. Simpson showed up, and O.J. says, I said, O.J., you know, I said, I'm from San Francisco, but I want to talk about the project. I said, I interviewed you before, and he goes, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, right. Anyway, but the bottom line is, you know, O.J., I said to him, he goes, we can talk about anything but the murders.
What did and you say?
I said the murders. I'm thinking. Oh, I'm saying to myself, murders. Didn't they commit suicide? Ron Goldman and Nicole. Did they kill themselves? Right. I mean, anyway, I wanted to ask OJ though how his blood ended up on the gate of the place there in Santa Monica. It was on the gate. It was not his blood was on the gate, and the prosecutors, Patricia Clark, whatever, Marsha Clark, and the black guy, they were in love together, and they forgot about it. They didn't present his evidence. But imagine if they'd have presented the evidence, a fingerprint, a bloody fingerprint of O.J. Simpson on that gate there on Bundy Lane or wherever it was. I think that might have got him convicted.
Yeah, that's crazy that they didn't bring that up.
But they were sleeping here. Hey, speaking of not bringing things up, we're talking about Mike Tyson yesterday, of course, and Don King. Somebody thought that Don King set him up for the rape case with Desiree Washington, Indiana, and those things like that. And the lawyer that Don King got, Mike Tyson, was a bankruptcy attorney. And after looking at the court transcripts afterwards, I'm a freak when it comes to doing that kind of stuff, being an ex-cop and a paralegal. So I love reading court papers. And I read that Miss Washington, she said that her and Mike Tyson were having, do foreplay on the bed, and her breasts were out and all this kind of good stuff. I mean, she's laying it out there. And then she said it was getting hot and heavy, so she went in the bathroom, and she said she was spotting, which means she had a small menstrual cycle going on.
Yeah.
So she took her panty shield off and put it on the sink board. The panty shield, she took it off and put it on the sink board, and she went out and engaged Mike some more. And of course, then she said it was rape. But the thing with rape is, I don't think she would have had a problem with Mike had Mike not violated her to the extent where he did, because Mike sort of took it to another level. I don't want to give graphic here on the phone, but Mike took it to another level, and I think that's really where she had the issues concerned. But
yeah.
No, that was a reasonable doubt, though. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, a good attorney would have been able to bring it out. Well, if you didn't want to have sex, why did you leave your panty shield on the sink board in the bathroom?
Wow.
I mean, they would have asked her that. But no. But the bankruptcy attorney that Don King hired for Mike Tyson in our criminal rape trial didn't know what to do.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's crazy. See, I always learned something here on this show.
a little history, no doubt about that. Now, pound for pound, are we starting to get some definition here? I mean, by May of 2024, are we going to have a good figure? Are we going to have a good grasp on who really is the best fighter in the world?
I mean, we know who the top two guys are, right? It's got to be Crawford and the new way, definitely pound for pound. I would like to see David Benavidez get a shot at Canelo, and that'll be another, I think he would be the third guy as pound for pound if he was to defeat Canelo. But when are we going to see that fight? When is the WBC going to mandate that fight?
Never.
It's a big money fight, too.
I'll say it again. And the Mexican, did you hear me?
Yeah. Never. Wow.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just, here's what's up. The reason why I don't think it's happened is that, my attorney was explaining to me last night, his legacy will be ruined. I said, listen, nobody goes out 49-0 like Rocky Marciano. Okay? And it just don't happen. And he lost the one fight against Bivol. He lost the fight real early on when he was green as guacamole to Floyd Mayweather Jr. So I said, he's had a good run, but unless he steps up and fights this guy in May, the Mexicans are going to roast him.
Well, they're already roasting him now. I mean, this is what they want. And it's, the world wants, America wants it, and obviously the Mexicans want it. I mean, and it's an easy fight that could be made. I mean, he signed with PBC for two more fights. And then, David Benavidez is a PBC fighter. It's an easy fight to make. They can make it a Cinco de Mayo. I don't see why they can't do it.
Let's see if it happens. Tommy D, you have a good weekend, man. Thank you so much for your time. Kiss the kids, hug the wife. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate you, Pedro. Take care.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Coming to you from the Westgate Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I probably won't be coming back here. More of Ring Talk after the break.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's young, he's handsome,
they know it.
He's a poet, a prophet, and many people believe he'll be the next heavyweight champion of the world.
I saw Sonny Liston a few days ago, Cash.
Ain't he ugly? He's too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
Every time I hear his voice, memories like just go crazy all over the world. Of course, we've been to 3 or 4 different continents together. Talking about myself, of course, and the great Muhammad Ali, may he rest in peace. The 3-time world heavyweight champ, of course, won the title in 1964 when he beat Sonny Liston in a big upset. But when he really sprang on the scene, I think it was after he retired from boxing. I mean, he really became a formidable force in the world. In the world, as far as being a politician, somewhat an ambassador of goodwill. I mean, he did some hostage negotiation, you name it, Ali did it. Straight up, let's talk boxing. Of course, December the 2nd, guess who's back? Oh, no, they're putting him on TV again. Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is taking on a guy named Oscar Duarte. Oscar must be about 95 years old and have one arm because that's the only way Ryan Garcia is going to fight anybody. Ryan Garcia turned out to be a major disappointment. I told you that when I bet Ryan Garcia over Gervonta Davis, I wasn't betting him per se. I was betting his corner. I'm talking about Joe Goosen because I had known Joe Goosen for like 35 or 40 years, and Joe Goosen would not put a guy in a ring if he wasn't 100%, 200% focused, the whole nine yards. Joe wasn't in it for the money. Well, maybe he was this time because the bottom line is, you know, Ryan Garcia wasn't prepared. He either had a bad injury going in or he got injured going in there. There's all kinds of chicanery going on. I thought in my mind, I thought things were bad going in there for Ryan Garcia. And of course, Ryan didn't perform at the end of the night. You know, he got drilled. Either he quit or he went into the fight hurt. It was one and the other. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is hour number 1 and 2 coming to you from the, where are we? Oh, yeah, the Westgate Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. The reason why I'm here is I have a funeral tomorrow for Colonel Bob Sheridan. Of course, he was my broadcast partner with Don King Productions for quite a number of shows, and we'll talk about his eulogy in hour number two as well. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned after the bias, sexist, unbelievably propaganda news. This is Ring Talk on Sports Byline.
I'm Laura Winters. The four-day truce between Hamas and Israel appears to be holding for a second day, and more hostages are expected to be released this Saturday. 24 hostages released Friday, 13 Israelis, 10 Thai, and one Filipino hostage let go. Israel believes Hamas still holding roughly 215 hostages right now in Gaza. President Biden in Nantucket, Massachusetts for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend commenting on the latest development.
It's only a start, but so far it's gone well. Early this morning, 13 Israeli hostages were released, including an elderly woman, a grandmother, and mothers with their young children, some under the age of 6 years old.
He's also asked by reporters why no Americans were in the first group of hostages let go.
I don't trust Hamas to do anything right. I only trust Hamas to respond to pressure.
Now, later in the day, the president and first lady attending a tree lighting ceremony. Pro-Palestinian protesters there chanting Free Palestine. You can hear them over the Christmas music that was being played on the square. Now, this protest, similar to the one at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, here's USA's Skip Kelly.
Several pro-Palestinian protesters are in custody after trying to disrupt the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The New York Daily News reports that some of the protesters wore white jumpsuits with the words ethnic cleansing, colonialism, and militarism printed on them. They jumped the barricades, and it also appears they had glued their hands to the pavement. The marching bands and floats had to make their way around them as police moved in to make arrests.
And that's USA's Skip Kelly reporting, and I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
USA News for your health now. There's been a spike in respiratory illnesses in China, which has caught the attention of the WHO, the World Health Organization, the situation being investigated. To politics now, here in the United States, there is a push online for a third-party ticket. USA's John Schaefer reports.
There is an online petition urging Senators Mitt Romney of Utah and Joe Manchin of West Virginia to form a bipartisan presidential ticket. The Draft Romney-Manchin Committee initiated the petition, emphasizing the need for leaders who can bridge political extremes. The objective is to encourage the No Labels Convention in Dallas to nominate Romney for president and Manchin for vice president.
In other news, it turns out law enforcement in New York State believes a married couple was in that car that crashed and burst into flames at the U.S.-Canada border, which triggered a terrorism alert the day before Thanksgiving this week. USA's Dave Collins on the story.
The crash happened Wednesday morning at Rainbow Bridge near Niagara Falls. Law enforcement sources say the married couple was in a Bentley that was driving at a high rate of speed when it hit a curb and a guardrail, which sent it flying through the air and exploding upon impact, killing both of them.
And Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg writing on X that he has been briefed by Department of Transportation staff in New York and Washington, D.C. on that explosion and that he's in contact with his Canadian counterpart. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Do you have a story to tell? Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network handles everything. If you have a print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, call Audiobook Network now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. That's 800-433-0539. Paid for by Fix My Student Loans.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, emanating, of course, coming from the Westgate Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And that, of course, coming to you on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Of course, this is the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Did we lose him? No, we didn't lose him. But to tell you the truth, this is a bit of an obstacle because of the fact they have no internet in this hotel. So, I mean, we came here. I said, do you guys have internet? I called them before we got here, before we checked in, because we want to have solid Wi-Fi in order to do a live broadcast, right? Well, guess what? Their Wi-Fi here sucks. It's absolutely horrible. And if that wasn't bad enough, you guys know how particular I am when it comes to eating. I don't eat much, right? So I ordered 3 eggs, you know, pretty good as far as for scramble well and that kind of stuff this morning. And he shows up with no salt and pepper. And you can't call the guy back for room service because he's like 20 minutes away. So the bottom line is, this is a bit of a bust this first couple of days here at the Westgate Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. That, of course, I'm here for Colonel Bob Sheridan's funeral. Who's Colonel Bob Sheridan? He broadcast the Muhammad Ali George Foreman fight, of course, back in 1974. That was the first fight he ever did for Don King, and he did just about every Don King card from that point forward. He and I worked together on many, many cards. We worked in Las Vegas. We worked in Europe. I mean, he's just a wonderful man to be around, without a doubt, and we're going to miss him. So tomorrow, Monday, we'll have a service for him here in Las Vegas. Most of boxing's hierarchy is going to turn out for the Colonel, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. The impeccable one is trying to hold me together here today. We will spend some time with the man that knows everything about boxing books. And somebody said, why don't you talk about boxing books? Do people still read boxing books? Well, we'll talk with Clay Moyle in about 15 minutes here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I feel amazing, man. First of all, I just want to give a thanks and a shout-out to all the people that came and support me. Without you guys, this company and all the boxers here are nothing. You guys support us so much, and it just makes me so happy that I could go in there and give you guys these types of performance. This is what you guys want to see, and I'm here to give you guys what you want to see.
David, you told me earlier in the week that your performance tonight was going to signal the start of the David Benavidez era. And boy, oh boy, did you do that. Or were you surprised in what you were able to do and the fashion that you were able to do it, because you really turned up the heat rather quickly against Demetrius Andrade?
I'm not surprised. I know how hard I worked in this camp, and like I've been telling everybody for a long time that the fights are won in the training camp. I didn't leave any stone unturned in the training camp. I worked my ass off, and I think it just shows. I mean, there's a lot of critics that say Bubu's going to outbox me, that my defense is not good, I'm going to get hit. They said the same thing with Caleb Plant, and I continue to keep shutting all the critics up. You know, you guys say I can't do something, but I go in there and I look completely different than what you guys think I'm going to look like. You know, so it's better the critics to keep their mouths shut, because I'm listening to everything you guys are saying.
You've been put on notice. We now have questions for the champion, David Benavidez. Raise your hand.
David Benavidez, of course, last night victorious over Demetrius Andrade, of course, his post-fight little celebration here. Of course, calling out Canelo Alvarez in depth. That's the fight everybody wants to see. In fact, last night, the predominantly Mexican crowd, they actually went berserk for Benavidez, and they were yelling, monster, monster, monster. And of course, guess who was in the crowd? Mike Tyson, of course. David Benavidez, the biggest supporter, the former world heavyweight champion, trying to go in low-key, but the bottom line is anywhere he goes, of course, he's noticed. There's no doubt about that. But when I looked at the difference between his entrance and Oscar De La Hoya's entrance, De La Hoya entered wearing some type of fur jacket with a Playboy bunny on the back or some kind of stuff. I don't know. Of course, Oscar's been known to be a Playboy, and he's also been known to appear in women's clothing. So God knows what Oscar's on to these days. But the bottom line is De La Hoya was present last night for the fight as well. Now, back to the guy I think is a pound-for-pound best fighter in boxing, Gervonta Davis. 29-0, 27 knockouts. Of course, that fast fight with Ryan Garcia was supposed to be a fight. I picked Ryan Garcia to win because I thought that Ryan Garcia had a good trainer and a good corner, and the fact that he was taller and had, you know, longer arms and that kind of good stuff. I said to myself, this counts, because if you give me height and reach over somebody, I'm probably going to beat them. I don't care how good they are, I'm probably going to beat them, okay, because I'm not going to let them get close to me. Gervonta Davis shouldn't have got close, but he got real close. I mean, he got up close and personal, of course, dropping Ryan Garcia in the second round, sort of doomed Ryan's fate. But Ryan sort of came in with that bad attitude, like I wasn't going to win to begin with. I mean, he didn't look like he had a plan. He didn't look like he was there for anything but to collect a check. And like in the sixth round, when that semi, quasi, half-ass body shot, or whatever you want to call it, that shot to the ribs. Now, either he had a rib injury going in, or he took a dive there, because that didn't look like the type of body shot that would drop anybody. I've been hit with a few body shots. Never dropped in my life. Sparred with some monsters. Never got dropped with a body shot, because for the most part, I kept my elbows in. You keep your elbows in, chin tucked, hands up, and feet in position at all times, and you go right with those boxing principles. For the most part, you know, you're going to keep yourself together. But, you know, last night, when I look at the end of the event, the fact that Benavidez, you know, took this crowd on and he charged them up, and he left them feeling charged. I mean, the people were pumped up when they left the arena. This is good stuff, no doubt about that. But I was surprised to an extent as how well the crowd behaved after the Jose Benavidez Charlo decision, because I thought that, you know, Benavidez, his younger brother Jose, did win a couple of rounds, but one judge had it 190 and another judge had it like 99. Anyway, bottom line is it was a one-sided fight. But how can I put this? Jermall Charlo needs to find another profession. Professional boxing is just not it. Joseph Benavidez is David Benavidez, Jose is David's younger brother. He's an also-ran. He got knocked out by Terrence Crawford at 147 pounds. Did you really think he was going to make a move at this weight? I mean, come on. Was he really going to be able to make a move at fighting a guy that was supposed to be at 163? It was supposed to be at 160 originally. Then they cut the weight to 163, and Charlo came in at 166.7 or something like that. I would have told him, you know what? You might want to stick this fight. I'm sorry. But that, I think I might have said that, because I don't think, listen, your guy is already at a severe disadvantage. Talk about Benavidez. This is a guy that's only fought basically at welterweight and maybe one or two fights at junior middleweight, but he's a small guy. He's a tiny guy. Remember, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And when you looked at their bodies last night, and one guy was clearly two weight classes bigger than the other guy, and it showed. I mean, every time that Benavidez did try to hit him, and there were some ugly arm punches, but it really had no effect on Charlo. And Charlo, of course, being off since June, I believe, of 2019, hasn't fought, and somebody said 27 months, if that's 27 months, okay. But the bottom line is, he is not what we thought he was going to be. I mean, I thought he was going to, you know, blossom into a really a good fighter this at one point in time. After about 10 fights ago, I said to myself, you know, young black kid from Texas has got some good ability. Maybe he might even be better than his brother, but his brother turned out to be better than him. And, of course, his brother is the one that went on and fought basically didn't throw any punches against Canelo Alvarez in that last fight. Remember? I mean, Canelo, let's be honest, Canelo's got two free rides in the last two fights. He got to fight John Ryder. He fought John Ryder on the same day the king was coronated in England. So all John Ryder wanted to do was go the distance, to be proud and go the distance. And, you know, the fact that it was a big day in England and he was the biggest event on TV outside of the fact that King was being crowned that day. So it was a big day for British boxing. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Ryder's not exactly Marvin Hagler. So when Canelo went 12 rounds with him, we said, okay, he needed to work. Then he goes 12 rounds against a guy named Jermell Charlo, the 154-pound Charlo. Of course, they're both twins. But he didn't throw a punch. He didn't throw any punches. I mean none. I can't think of any effective punches that Charlo even tried to throw. It was like he came in there handcuffed. It was like the fight was fixed, but it wasn't fixed. Obviously, it wasn't fixed. It was maybe fixed in Charlo's mind that he wasn't going to win a round and he wasn't going to get hurt. His bottom line was he sure didn't try to establish himself in that fight at all. So The Charlo brothers, he are there on my spit list right now. Get rid of both of them. Let's go through the top 10. If I think Davis is number one, as far as pound for pound is concerned, I would have to go to Japanese fighter being number two. I'm talking about the Noah Inoue. Of course, he's 30 years old. Speaking of Davis, he's 29. He's 30 years old. Coach comes obviously from Yokohama, Japan. But he's 25 and zip, now going to fight at 122 pounds, looking to become the undisputed champion at 122. Okay? As far as the rest of the top 10 is concerned, I mean, is there really the rest of the top 10? Of course, Stevenson was highly regarded until that fight a couple of weeks ago. What was he thinking? What was he doing? I mean, should the referee have stopped the fight at one point in time and said, listen, you guys are stinking this joint out. You guys are making me look bad. I mean, I'm going to be on TV for this fight. Let's do some fighting. But there was no fighting done. I mean, I think Shakur threw 19. He's a southpaw, right? He threw 19 crosses, 19 power punches in the entire fight. So you figure out 19 punches over 12 rounds, that's like less than two punches a round. He was throwing less than two left hands around. So he spent the entire night running and jabbing with his right hand. Shame on him, because it was a showcase performance, showcase spot for him to perform. There's no doubt about that, but he just couldn't rise to the occasion. Back to Crawford, just got a shoot here text. Somebody shot me a text here. Do I think Crawford's old? Yeah, he's 36 years old, and he looked old as far as the weigh-in. Before the weigh-in with Earl Spence, he looked like Terrence Crawford, the bus driver from Omaha, Nebraska. The fat, you know, old black man. That's what he looked like. But, of course, when the bell rang, he had rehydrated himself in a good manner. Of course, he went out there, and he smoked the smokeless Earl Spence. Speaking of Earl Spence and Terrence Crawford, looks like that rematch is going to go down sometime in 2024. They're talking about February. I'm saying, why would you buy this on pay-per-view? Hell no. There's no doubt about that. Got another text coming here from, looks like Main Event Matt, coming to me from St. Louis. He says that Tyson Fury is like, you know, sort of like gun-shy. Yeah, I mean, I'll go along with that. Tyson Fury is gun-shy. But the bottom line is, you know, I guess when you don't get hit and then you get hit, things change. I mean, you've got to, it's like boxing's got to be in your blood 24/7. It's always got to be what you're thinking about. You got to be training all the time. Now, obviously, Tyson Fury doesn't train year round. It's like he doesn't train a whole lot anymore, because when you looked at that last fight with Francis Ngannou, I thought he was woefully out of shape. The fact that he had the tire around his waist, people say, oh, he's always got the tire around his waist. You know, he's a 6'9" guy, and he doesn't have the athletic body that you want him to have. No, I don't want him to have an athletic body. I want him to have a body that performs. And he failed to perform in that fight, no doubt about that. Of course, I had it 6-3-1 in rounds, and I think that's 97-93 for Francis Ngannou. I say 6-3. I mean, six rounds for Ngannou, three rounds for Tyson Fury, and one round even. That's a 10-round fight. And what did they do after 10 rounds? One judge saw it at 96-93 for Tyson Fury. Another judge saw it at 95-94 for Tyson Fury. The other judge had it 95-94, I believe, for Ngannou. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the fight stunk as far as the decision was concerned. It wasn't, you can't take away from the MMA guy. I mean, you can't. I mean, here's a rookie. The guy's only making his professional debut against the world heavyweight champion, and he's kicking his ass. I mean, come on. It doesn't happen too often, but it happened that night. No doubt about that. Next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we're going to talk books with boxing expert as far as books are concerned, Mr. Book himself. I call him the book worster, the book man. Talk about Clay Moyle. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
Mighty Tower of Power bringing us back to the break. Soul Side of Town, one of their recent releases. I guess they don't call them albums anymore as CDs. They call them drops. According to the Cut Man, that's what they used to call them, musical drops. I don't know. Bottom line is I used to buy records in my day. Speaking of records, books, stuff like that, this is all that took place. This is all a part of life before the internet. Of course, the internet took over and some things got better, some things didn't. Bottom line is bringing Clay Moyle, who is the boxing expert when it comes to books, no doubt about that. Mr. Boxing Expert, when it comes to books, people have been saying that about you for 25 years. How come?
Because I went insane and began collecting every single book and boxing book in the English language I could find.
And how many books do you think you have?
In my personal library, I ended up with over 4,600, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And I got another 2,200 duplicates or so that are on the website for sale, of course.
You know, I remember many, many years ago, my old buddy Ron Marshall, I think he's passed away, but he had a book, and I think it was signed by Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney, and he had this book signed, and I think he sold it for like 15 or 20 grand.
Wow. Well, I've got one signed by both of those fellows, and it has Bing Crosby's book plate in it. If anybody wants to give me a lot less than that, I'm willing to talk.
but has the price, you know, boxing memorabilia overall, has that market gone away? At one point in time, it was hot and heavy. Is it still going?
It's still going, but you're right. It's nowhere near as booming as it was, of course. I think it really started to take off even more so when the internet first came out, and it was so easy for people to connect with one another, and books were seemingly coming out of the woodwork that nobody could find for forever. But mm-hmm. but over the last 10 years, I'd say it's declined significantly.
I think I read The Professional. I think that was the first boxing book I ever read, and it was given to me by Jack Fisk, of course. Born Jacob Finkelstein, the Hall of Fame writer from the SF Chronicle for like 40 years. But he gave me this book, and I read it and read it and I read it, and then in the end it was a big surprise. The guy gets thrilled. You know, he taught me a lot about boxing, but that was the first boxing book I ever read.
Yeah, and that was a novel, but it was fantastic. I read that one as well. You're right. It was a terrific read.
Yeah, that was a good day. So what is the most valuable boxing book in the world? Is there a book that's worth more than, I mean, I've heard, like, The Rosetta Stone of books?
Geez, I don't know which one would be the most valuable. I mean, there's ones that to me are, you know, ones that I've never seen or even come across, had a chance to buy, that I'm constantly searching for, that I'd be willing to pay more for than probably many others, just for that reason. Like, I know there's a, and it probably doesn't sound very exciting, but like a simple boxing instruction book that was written by George Dixon. I think it was around 1890 or so. I've never seen it, but yeah, to me, for me personally, the ones that I value the most are those that are extremely rare and also are signed, especially if it's like one fighter to another or a fighter to a promoter. Like, I've got a book written by autobiography by the triple champion Henry Armstrong, and it's got a really long inscription on the inside to Sugar Ray Robinson. You know, so I value that tremendously.
You know, would it surprise you if I told you that Robinson told me that Ray Leonard was a faster, harder hitting version of himself?
Nothing would surprise me in boxing, really. But I'd never heard that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, he told me that in June of 1984. I sat him down. He was wearing a pink shower cap. He had pink rollers in his hair. He was wearing a pink bathrobe. We were sitting in the old Aladdin Hotel. Of course, it was the day after Roberto Duran got knocked out by Tommy Hearns. And he told me something that day, Clay, that sort of would perplex me at the time, but now I realize he was right all along. He said to me, history will recognize Roberto Duran as a greater fighter than Tommy Hearns, even though Tommy knocked him out yesterday. And I said, why is that? He goes, because of the fact he started at 122 pounds and he won championships basically up to 154 and 160.
Yeah, he obviously had some big wins over his career as well. He was a great fighter.
Okay, so who's the hottest autobiography?
The hottest autobiography. I don't. You know, of course, the one by. Well, that's not an autobiography. Who is the hottest autobiography? Again, it's just personal preference, I think. But, you know, I really liked one of my favorite books was the 1957 book No Man Stands Alone by the champion Barney Ross, because it's not only very in-depth and detailed concerning his career and his life, but it also includes his experiences in World War II, where he was a decorated war hero, and his battle with drug addiction afterward. Okay. But, you know, that's not a really hard one to find.
Okay, so do you have a book of maps that I could use to go find Rocky Marciano's buried money? He buried like $3 million somewhere, and I'm trying to find out where that's at.
I do not have that book, but that's interesting that you bring that up, because I remember hearing that same thing, that supposedly he had monies stashed, cash hidden all over the place.
Well, Northern California wrestling promoter Roy Shire, he buried $350,000 in his backyard in Sebastopol, California. So when he dug it up, the money had rotted. Okay, so he called the IRS. He called the government. He says, "You know, I got this money and it's rotted." So they taxed him on the money, and he wasn't a happy camper. Evidently, Roy wasn't a happy camper. He lost most of that $350,000. But you know, he was doing a cash business, and back in the day in the 70s, wrestling was a cash business. And you bought tickets by cash. Nobody paid you by credit card.
Yeah, well, as I understand it, supposedly Marciano insisted on, when he made these appearances, that he be paid in cash for that reason, that he not have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, and another thing was, he was the cheapest guy in the history of the planet. I mean, he would walk into a suit store, and he would expect them to measure him up and give him a suit for free, because at one point in time, he was a heavyweight champion. I mean, that's
right.
He was Italian. He was Italian, but he had chutzpah.
Yes, he did.
So, when you look at your collection of books right now, I mean, what do you treasure the most?
You know, again, it's the ones to me that are a combination of rare and have unique inscriptions or signatures. Like, I have a book that was written in 1909 by the American middleweight champion Mike Donovan. You know, and he titled the book "The Roosevelt That I Know." So he was, you know, a personal sparring partner with Theodore Roosevelt when Roosevelt was in office. And I didn't think that book was issued with a dust jacket, and I found it one day with a dust jacket, and then it was also inscribed
by Donovan to William Pinkerton of the Pinkerton Detective Agency. You know, that's the kind of book that, to me, is very valuable, or I value it very much. Another is, I've got the 1910 Babbling Nelson autobiography that he's inscribed to James J. Jeffries. I mean, to me, those are so cool. I mean, they're not easy books to find necessarily either, but then when you have that kind of a inscription from, you know, one great to another great, that's cool to me.
Okay, I'm gonna expose a couple little side of page here. I love going to bookstores stoned. I love to smoke weed and go into bookstores and read this and read that. And I'm serious, man. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to read all the wrestling and boxing magazines at the store, at the corner liquor store. I had a deal with the guy. I could read all the magazines because I sold newspapers outside. Okay, but I would spend, sometimes I spent 2-3 hours in there reading. I mean, when I was a kid, that's what we did. We read. And they don't read anymore.
No, I know. Or if they do, they're reading them on their phones. Yeah, people don't buy the books as much anymore.
Okay. Anyway,
I'll tell you what. If you're going to go into a bookstore stone, that's probably as good a place as any to go in, because they have a unique smell of all their own, books, and a bookstore full of old books. You sit right in there.
I can't remember. It was the Green Apple, the one out there on Clement Street in San Francisco. It's still open, and there's a couple other bookstores still open. I go over to Berkeley once in a while. Pegasus Book is still open, and you know, a lot of the big bookstores have closed, and people don't read books anymore. But you and I still do. So I guess you know, maybe at one point in time, these books, people will realize in 100 years from now what they missed.
Yeah, I imagine they will at some point. But you know, there are a number of people out there with the same sickness as myself that are looking to buy books all the time. But it has dropped off for sure. But yeah, you know, you talk about going into bookstores. I'm always going into old bookstores looking for boxing books, and you know, it's surprising how difficult it is to find those older boxing books. So you know, if you're serious about acquiring those, you need to make some connections online with folks, and you know, do some networking to dig those out. And
good enough, Clay. Well, I'm running up on a hard break. I thank you so much for your time. It's great to talk with you, man. Hug the family. We'll talk real soon, hopefully.
All right, good talking to you. Take care.
Thank you so much. Clay Moyle, boxing author, boxing writer, boxing historian, you name it, he is Mr. Books when it comes to boxing. No doubt about that. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for
give
it?
You one postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
The retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant will be here next week. He's got family issues going on. It's good family stuff, like family parties, bar mitzvahs, all that kind of good stuff. So Larry's still rock and rolling. He will be 93 years old on February the 11th. Of course, the same date as the Mike Tyson Buster Douglas fight, of course, which took place February 11th, 1990. But, man, that's his birthday. Imagine that, going down, the biggest upset in boxing history, and he was televising that. I mean, Larry Merchant, Jim Lampley, of course, were over there. I'll never forget the most epic words ever uttered on HBO in my mind was when Jim Lampley said, Mike Tyson has been knocked out. I mean, I thought that was absolutely mind-blowing, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you from the Westgate Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm chuckling about this because usually I stayed up at a place that has has gates and that kind of good stuff, like a gated community, you know, so I'm sort of like Mr. Privacy. And here I'm staying at the Westgate, and I said to myself, well, you know, it's the Las Vegas Hilton. I mean, all the history there, Pedro, of course, you know, Elvis played here. And speaking of Elvis, I knew his jeweler. His jeweler was Alex Freed. That was his name. He changed his name. It was longer than that. But Alex Freed was his name. He was a boxing promoter, a manager, and he was a jeweler. He owned the, quote, the jeweler, and he was in the basement or on the first floor here at the Las Vegas Hilton. He had several of them around Las Vegas. In fact, he was Mike Tyson's jeweler and that kind of good stuff when Mike was hot in the 90s. But Alex has passed on. But Alex Freed, he was a wonderful man. We drove around different parts of Las Vegas in his car, and he would tell me all these different stories. And, you know, he told me one time about the fact that when he was in a concentration camp as a kid, he had the numbers tattooed on his arm and all that. I was blown away by that. And we're driving around Las Vegas. He's telling me all these different boxing stories and this, that. But it all circles back to here at the Las Vegas Hilton, where Alex had that jewelry shop there on the first floor. Of course, I said Elvis was one of his biggest customers. And then every day that Elvis threw a show here, Elvis had relationships with a new girl. Elvis was a whore. Sorry, this is the way it is. But anyway, he was. And so he would have relations with this girl, and that, according to Alex, about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess that's when Elvis got up, they would come downstairs and he would buy her a bracelet. And usually bought her a bracelet between, depending on the girl, he spent between $5,000 and $10,000 each time. So think about that. Every time, every night that Elvis got engaged here, physically or intimately, he was forking out $5,000 to $10,000. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, pound for pound, there is no real king right now. We talk about Noah Inouye, Terrence Crawford, maybe Mr. Gervonta Davis, of course, I think is the best. But they're talking heavyweight title picture, of course, in February. Oleg Usyk, the young man that
Well, he's done a lot for a guy that's small, no doubt about that. He was a former cruiserweight champion, a guy that really is about 215, 220 pounds naturally. Of course, he had that last fight with Danny Dubois, took the knee after getting dropped with a body shot, did some acting and this and that. Of course, before that, he beat Anthony Joshua not once but twice, the second time on a split decision. But the bottom line is, he's just not my favorite type of fighter. He's just not. And he and Tyson Fury, we thought would be a fight a year ago that we wanted to see. But it's not a fight I want to see now. I'm not going to pay to see this fight. If I could steal this fight, maybe I'd steal it. I mean, you know, am I stealing it by looking through somebody's binoculars and looking in through somebody's window and with a pair of binoculars watching the fight that way? But I'm not going to pay for this. I'm not, especially after the Tyson Fury, Francis Ngannou fight. I mean, come on, man. They tried to sucker us in on this one. Listen, this is just an exhibition. Man, it wasn't no exhibition. It was a fight. It was a 10-round fight. They scored it. It was a 10-round. You don't score exhibitions. They scored a 10-round fight. It was 10 three-minute rounds. Tyson Fury got dropped. He got hurt. He got staggered a few times. He got gun-shy. And much like my man Matt Burrell said from St. Louis, he got gun-shy like Chuck Liddell did in the old days. Remember Chuck Liddell, the UFC guy? Well, he's punch drunk now. I shouldn't say that. That's not nice for me to say. What I would say is he's suffering the residual effects of taking those shots, because that and the fact he liked to party a lot. I mean, I'm not saying he did a lot of blow, but I know he did a lot of booze. And he drank a lot. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, alcohol and the fact you get pounded on, the combination just doesn't come together. It just really doesn't. I mean, I see guys that drink, and people say to me, wow, look at him, man. Look, he's, you know, no. Don't blame that on boxing. Blame a lot of that on alcohol. Alcohol is a major, major, major problem, no doubt about that. So Usyk and Fury are going to do it in February. Of course, February, I think, the 17th, going to do that in Saudi Arabia. And somebody said to me, Pedro, why don't you warm up the Saudi Arabians? You know, you could probably make some money if you kiss a little ass and went over there and did a WBC TV show or something like that from Saudi Arabia. That's not my forte. I'm not that guy. You want somebody to buy somebody to go over there and paint what a nice place it is, and it's a hellhole. Okay, it's 120 degrees. Everybody smells like sweat over there. The chicks don't even smell good over there. So, I mean, why would you want to go to Saudi Arabia? You wouldn't want to go to Saudi Arabia. That's just it. That's why they had to pay everybody to go over there. That's what they're doing. Everybody that went to that event, Sir Kenny Rainford, of course, of the UK, my famous guy on the show, my English insider, he was there. He sat in the seventh row. He didn't go there. He didn't go there because he wanted to see a fight. He went there because they paid him to go. Larry Holmes, they paid him to go. Mike Tyson, they paid him to go. They paid everybody to go. Everybody to go was paid for. It was like an infomercial. In fact, the last couple of fights from Saudi Arabia have been like infomercials for the Saudi Arabians, of course. And they killed Khashoggi, you know, Jamal Khashoggi. That was the Washington Post reporter of Saudi Arabian descent. But the bottom line is, he was an American citizen. They chopped him up in pieces, much like Trevor Verbeek, okay? But the bottom line is, you know, they got a pass on that one because, you know, Trump was the president at that point in time. They killed an American citizen. They got away with it. Nobody said nothing. I mean, nobody batted an eye. At the end of the day, the Saudis are very brutal people. They're oppressive to women. And I just don't think I can go over to the Middle East one more time. In fact, if they wanted to do a deal with me, maybe I'd send Socrates Palmer, because evidently Tommy D can't go. Tommy D's agent said, he ain't going, quote, he ain't going to the Middle East, end quote, period. That was it. So maybe Socrates Palmer can go over there. Maybe Sock can get permission from his agent. But the bottom line is, Middle East, nobody wants to go over there. And they're going to try to paint the Middle East as some glorious place to go, much like they painted Zaire, Africa in 1974 as it was going to be the next Mecca of entertainment, the next French Riviera, the next Las Vegas, the next Palm Springs. It was the jungle. Nobody wants to go to the jungle. Nobody wants to... I mean, come on, they had to cut trees down in order to build a stadium. I mean, they had to clear forestry. I mean, it was a jungle. It was nothing more than a jungle. And, of course, Don King Khan, the government then of Zaire, President Mobutu, out of $7 or $8 million to throw the fight there. Of course, not only did Don King bankrupt that country, of course, he went over to the Philippines, and he got President Marcos to kick over $5 or $6 million for that third thrill in Manila. Of course, the Ali Frazier fight, the third one, of course, in the 14th round, when Joe Frazier's fight corner stopped that fight, Eddie Fett said, son, you got nothing to be embarrassed of, but I'm stopping this fight, and started to cut the gloves off. At the same time, Ali was over in his corner saying, I've had enough, cut my gloves off, I don't want to fight no more, I don't want to fight no more. Muhammad Ali told me that was the closest thing he ever came to death. Speaking of death, I had a street fight one time with Tony Barnett, and Tony Barnett was a guy who was about 20 pounds bigger than me, and he was about a year or two older, but he was a big, strong guy, and he had beaten everybody up in the neighborhood for years. He was a neighborhood bully. So I had this fight with him out in the street, and it lasted, according to Adelina, who was a police dispatcher later in the SFPD with me. She was looking out her window. She said it lasted 23 minutes. Okay. After that 23-minute fight, I went up to my, we were living there, and I went up to my bedroom, and I dry heaved for like 35 or 40 minutes. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I didn't know what it was. As I find out later, that was the closest I would ever come to death. No doubt about that. That was a crazy, crazy, I mean, it was crazy. It just was. When you fight and fight and fight, and your life is at stake, I mean, you know it. If I don't do this, I'm going to get hurt and or killed. And Tony Barnett was crunching people left and right. I knew that I had to put up or shut up, no doubt about that. But that was my street fighting one. In fact, I don't want to brag or boast, but there is one person on this planet that can say they beat me in a street fight. That's just the way it was. I mean, I didn't pick fights with super monsters. I didn't pick fights. But the bottom line is, if you wanted to fight, I took it to you. And that's sort of how I got discovered in boxing. A guy that fought Sonny Liston, his name was Eddie Machen. At one point in time in the 1950s, late 1950s, he was ranked number one by Ring Magazine as a heavyweight contender. So I'm fighting this guy named Guy Lambert, who took a quarter off a pinball machine. I'm in a donut shop playing these pinball machines, and he took my quarter off the pinball machine, and he put it in his pocket. So either I was going to have to fight Guy Lambert right then and there, or he was going to walk on me for the rest of my life, and I couldn't get punked out, not in front of my friends. So I took him outside, and I beat him up. I beat him thoroughly, but the fact was he was wearing slippery shoes, and he couldn't stand up, so he was ice skating on the sidewalk. I sort of got him down with that one, and he never recovered. From that point forward, I just beat the snot out of him. And Eddie Machen, who had fought Sonny Liston, okay, he fought Sonny, went 12 rounds with Sonny Liston, lost a 12-round decision. He pulled me off of this guy. Guy Lambert, who was much bigger than me, pulled me off. I said, man, leave me alone, leave me alone. And I turned around and realized it was him. And, you know, I had to respect him. He was a former heavyweight contender. So he said to me, he goes, kid, you can really fight. He goes, you can really fight. He goes, come over to my house. He goes, I'm going to teach you how to box. So I went over to his house, which was across the street from where this fight took place on 29th and Mission here in San Francisco. In fact, that was the place where he would die. He would fall off a balcony in 1970. He'd fall or pushed off a balcony and died, but he took me over to his apartment, and for like a month and a half, we did nothing but punch. And what I mean by punch is shadow boxing punching, just punching straight, punching correct, trying to punch hooks, this and throw hooks and things like that. And he taught me the basics of the game. There's no doubt about that. We went to the boys' club. We had six fights. He was sitting in the crowd. He never sat in my corner. He was sitting in the crowd. We had six fights. I won all six fights. And I said to myself, I'm going to be the next champion of the world. 6-0, man, no. And nobody went the distance, six guys. But they were one-minute rounds. I mean, that's when, you know, you're 10 years old, 11 years old, you're fighting one-minute rounds. One-minute round is nothing, okay? So these one-minute rounds, I smoked all those guys in one-minute rounds. Then I think I was 14. I had my first two-minute round fight, and I lost. Eddie Smith beat me. Eddie was probably better than me, and he was more experienced at that point in time. But the bottom line is I got tired, and I lost. So I went home that night after the fight. You know, I wasn't feeling too down about it. It was lost by a point. And, you know, Eddie was a good fighter. I mean, there was no disgrace in that. But my O was gone. So it didn't bother me, I guess, as much as it bothered my parents. And the reason why I say that is when I went home, it was late at night, maybe 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I walked into the house, and my mother was smoking cigarettes. That's what killed her. She was smoking cigarettes in the front room, and all I could see was a cigarette light, her hitting the cigarette, you know, hitting off the cigarette. She goes, come here, I want to talk to you. And I said, whoa, you want to talk to me? What's up? Yeah. So then I walk over there, and I'm talking to her. This day. She goes, about tonight. I said, yeah, about tonight. What? He goes, I said, that was a close fight. She goes, you know, I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself for the family. I said, say what? Say what? Embarrass? What are you talking about? Embarrass myself for the family. So I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself for the family. I said, what are you talking about? I said, Mom, I lost my point. There's nothing to be ashamed of. She goes, no, what you have to be ashamed of is the fact that you got tired. You didn't lose the fight because he was a better fighter than you. You lost the fight because you got tired. I said, yeah, and you're gonna help me with that? She goes, well, me and Chris talked, and now I'm going to become your running coach. I said, so, Mom, she's sucking on cigarettes, right? I said, Mom, so you're going to become my running coach? You're going to run with me? She goes, no, I'm going to drive the car. But did she drive the car? She got me in great shape. We ran in the morning, 4.2 miles around Lake Merced. That was the morning run. Then after the gym, of course, and after work, we had to work 8 hours. And after the gym, we'd run at night. We'd run mountains for about 1.4 miles straight uphill, and then a 1 mile sprint across Skyline Boulevard in 20 minutes and jump a rope. And if I didn't do this, guess what? My mother wasn't taking me home. Because one night she told me like this. I was tired after a run, And she threw the jump rope out the window, smoking cigarettes, threw the smoke jump rope out the window. I said, well, I don't feel like jump rope. She drove away. She made me get home on my own that night. So I guess I sort of learned something. Straight up, a little bit of mom there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. The impeccable one, take it away.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro offers you his protection.
But I won't offer you a free stay at the Westgate Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I will not. Of course, I stay at the Signature Suites, and that's why I'm going back to. They were all booked up this damn race that they tore Las Vegas up for. Of course, Las Vegas made some money. The people were inconvenienced. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the race will be back next year. Now, as far as the upcoming fights, I mentioned, of course, December 1st, Derek Cuevas versus Marlon Aguas. That's going to be on ESPN. December 2nd, the aforementioned Ryan Garcia taking on Oscar Duarte. December 2nd, Gavin Quinn versus Emilio Marcelli. December 2nd, Michael Conlon versus Jordan Gill. Jordan Gill will be in, and Conlon will be on DAZN. Gavin Quinn and Emilio Marcelli will be on TNT Sports. Ryan Garcia and Oscar Duarte will be on DAZN. December 2nd as well from DAZN. Kevin Lee Saggio versus Giovanni Di Corrales. And that's coming to us from France. And December 9th, of course, a big pay-per-view coming to us from San Francisco, California, my home city. Rage's Progress, the once-beaten junior welterweight champion, taking on the undefeated Devin Haney. Of course, Devin Haney, the former lightweight champion, moving up in weight. Can you hear that beep on? I mean, this is going crazy. I'm sort of glad the show's coming to an end because it's been a a bit of a nightmare. And the only reason why that I'm hanging like I'm hanging is because the impeccable one, I'm talking about Bailey Peck, is producing the show, and he's holding it together there in San Francisco. Outside of that, I would have given this up about 2 hours ago. It's just been a nightmare. I mean, the fact that there's no internet here in this hotel, I mean, come on, man. This is like a 5-4-star hotel. There's no internet here. I mean, I kid you not. So you hook up the internet, it says internet quality poor. I mean, so I call the front desk, and they say to me, you know, we're working on it or something like that. So then I called them last night because it was cold. You know, it was cold water, cold air coming in from the heater, right? It never got any cold, warmer than 71 degrees in the room, so I'm complaining about that. Then, of course, the breakfast came this morning. I paid $40 for room service. It was eggs and sausage. I don't eat the sausage. You guys know that. So I ate the eggs, and guess what? They brought no salt and pepper with the eggs. And in other words, if I had called them back, it would have taken 25 minutes for them to come back with the salt and pepper. The eggs would have been cold, the whole nine yards. This has not been the greatest trip, but I'm here. Of course, last night was the David Benavides fight, and, of course, Colonel Bob Sheridan is being honored tomorrow with his funeral. So that's why I'm here in Las Vegas. So I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank the Impeccable for keeping this together. He is my main man, no doubt about that. Man, without him, I couldn't go. And as far as Scott Cutty concerned, may you rest in peace, Cut Man. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Impeccable One, I love you. Take it away.
I feel so blue. I got to make it right for everyone concerned.